What's happening locally? The news.
And it is time for our Monday morning look, our first look for this week. Some of those things happening here in the Republic of Panama. The report from the Department of Epidemiology of the Ministry of Health indicated on Sunday that in the last 24 hours, one death due to COVID-19 has been reported. Therefore, the accumulated number of deaths in the country remained at 8,193, with a lethality percentage of 1. According to the report, the districts with the highest incidence of cases on Sunday are Santiago in Veraguas with 88, Penonomé in Coclay with 81, and Juan Díaz in the District of Panama with 80, while Betania and Chitré in Herrera register 55 cases each. According to the entity, this Sunday, 7,655 tests were applied to detect those infected, of which 1,615 were positive, due to which a positivity of 21.1% is recorded. While there are 13,336 active cases throughout the country, 13,164 of those are in isolation and 162 are hospitalized. Those who are in isolation are divided into 13,136 in their residences and 28 in the so-called hospital hotels. In addition, those hospitalized in the wards, we have 145 patients and we have 17 patients in the intensive care units. And this weekend, the vaccination process against different diseases continued in several shopping centres in Panama City. There was the case of the conferences held at Andes Mall, Los Andes Mall, Soho Mall, Metro Mall, and the Orbrook Transport Terminal. In fact, this weekend, the Ministry of Health launched the Vaccinate Panama Time campaign, through which it seeks to increase vaccination coverage and immunize the population against preventable diseases. It was announced when visiting the website of the campaign, the user will enter their age and receive the information they need on this topic. From the vaccines that belong to the scheme, those that must be applied, and the immunization centers closest to the area where it is located. And it is that for years now, Panama has had a good health strength. However, as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, the numbers of vaccinated had decreased, a situation that has been recognized by the health authorities. Vaccines save lives. They help the cells in our bodies react when we face diseases, said Nurse Yanina Rodriguez, supervisor of the immunization station, which is located in Los Andes Mall. Panama has, within the national scheme, more than 25 vaccines to protect against 30 diseases that are preventable thanks to timely inoculation. The director of the Ministry of Health expanded immunization program, this is Itzelda Hewitt, stressed this weekend. Nurse Rodriguez said that although on weekends health personnel go to shopping centers to reinforce the vaccination strategy, on weekdays, citizens can go to the different health centres and polyclinics for this purpose. Rodriguez reminded us that the application of the vaccines, remember, is free. In the district of San Miguelito, the owners of 5 commercial premises, which are dedicated to the sale of clandestine lottery, will be fined after a surprise operation carried out this Sunday by the municipality of San Miguelito, with the support of the National Charity Lottery. Now, according to the lottery, the inspections were carried out on this Sunday morning in the neighbourhoods of Villa Lucre, Cerro Viento, San Antonio and El Crisol. Indira de Cedras, Deputy Director of Legal Advice of the lottery, confirmed the results of the surprise operation and pointed out that the detected businesses will be subject to the maximum sanction of $5,000. Everything was done, and the operation was very satisfactory. We found 3 businesses that are repeat offenders and 2 new ones, said Cedas. The 2 new sanctioned premises are located, by the way, in the El Crisol neighborhood and in San Antonio. during the phase of collecting signatures to revoke the mandate of the mayor of the capital, José Luis Fábrega, paid electoral propaganda donated in favour or against the initiative is prohibited, warned Ian Bayless, director of legal advice of the Electoral Court. The official recalled that this case is governed by Article 16 of Decree 49 of 2020 of the Tribunal Electoral, which details the process of revoking the mandate. He points out that the stage of collecting signatures does not imply a campaign, as it could be done in a possible recall referendum. If the 198,920 signatures required to call it were achieved, well, this phase must conclude on the 18th of August, when the term of 120 calendar days expires. April 20th was when the Tribunal Electoral gave the green light to collect the signatures. The Tribunal Electoral officials' clarifications were given after a consultation with the proponent of the revocation of the mandate, Roberto Ruiz Diaz. Bayless pointed out that natural or legal persons, either on their own behalf or on behalf of third parties, are prohibited from contracting or donating electoral propaganda in favour or against the process of recalling the mandate of the mayor of Panama, and to the media who accept or donate guidelines or time in the same sense. Therefore, he said, the use of flyers or promotional ballots, the making of T-shirts and caps alluding to the recall, as well as the production of jingles on the subject, are prohibited, as they are considered propaganda activities. Ruiz had also requested to put the 2019 electoral register on the Tribunal Electoral platform so that people who wish to support the revocation of the mandate could verify themselves in addition. He asked to place an icon on the website of the Tribunal Electoral and make the electoral roll of the District of Panama available to citizens. Less than a month before the Tribunal Electoral, makes the official call for the 2024 general elections, the President of the Republic, Laurentino Cortizo, sanctioned Law 299 of the 5th of May of this year, which assigns new numbers to the electoral circuits in the provinces of Panama and West Panama. Now, this implies that, for example, the San Miguelito circuit, known as 8-6, will now be 8-2. On the other hand, 8-6 covers the eastern area of the capital, such as Pedregal, Pacora, and Mañanitas, while all of Panama West, West Panama, 8-1, 8-2, 8-3, and 8-5, we'll now start with the number 13, which designates the province of West Panama, created by Law 119 of the 30th of December of 2013. The original bill for the reconfiguration of the circuits had been presented by the Tribunal Electoral Magistrates and intended to remove and add deputies in different circuits, but given the proximity of the electoral process towards 2024, the same magistrates, in fact, asked that this be issued or left after 2024 with validity for the 2029 elections. It must be remembered that according to Article 330 of the Electoral Code, the call for the general election will be held on June the 1st of the year before the year prior to the election. Well, that's in less than a month. This situation has as a precedent that on August the 16th of 2020, the Supreme Court of Justice declared unconstitutional a paragraph of Law 59 of December the 28th of 2006, which reconfigures the electoral circuits specifically because of the Arihan case. Well, the text now, unconstitutional, reads as follows, includes the Arihan circuit, where three deputies will be elected. Well, the plaintiff, Abdiel Enrique Gonzalez, argued that Arihan had enough electoral weight to have a fourth deputy. Well, although Article 147 of the Constitution set a limit of 71 deputies for the National Assembly, in that same text the Tribunal Electoral is responsible for proposing laws related to changes in the circuits. Although the accusations in the United States against the brothers Ricardo Alberto and Luis Enrique Martinelli Linares is for conspiring to launder $28 million in bribes from Odebrecht. The New York prosecutor maintains that the Brazilian contractor disbursed an additional $30 million. Now, this was deposited in accounts in euros managed by the two defendants for the benefit of the, quote, Panamanian government official, unquote, who, in addition, was a, quote, close relative, unquote, of both. These additional bribes were received after the banks closed the dollar accounts of the Martinelli-Linares brothers, concerned about the origin of the funds. In common agreement with Odebrecht, subsequent bribe payments were redirected to other accounts through new intermediaries of the Panamanian government official. Because of this, these $30 million in bribes paid in euros are not part of the U.S. indictment. The prosecution explains in two notes that it sent last Friday, the 6th of May, to Judge Raymond J. Deary of the Eastern District Court of New York, who will hold a hearing on May the 20th to sentence the two sons. This is, of course, of former President Ricardo Martinelli Barrichello. Now, although there are two notes, one corresponds to Ricardo Alberto and the other to Luis Enrique, the content of both is almost identical, given that the criminal charge and the facts that processed are the same. Some sentences have been crossed out. In those notes, signed by prosecutor Breon Pierce and assistant prosecutor Alexandra Smith, as well as the directors of the Fraud and Money Laundering and Asset Recovery Sections, Criminal Division of the U.S. Department of Justice, a conviction of between 108 months, that's 9 years, to 135 months, 11 years, and 3 months in prison for Ricardo Alberto and Luis Enrique. The two have already pleaded guilty in December of 2021. The prosecution points out that the probation department recommended a higher sentence of 180 months, that's 15 years in prison, as well as a payment of $250,000, since it did not observe grounds that could have mitigated the sentence. In its recommendation to the judge, the prosecution took into account three factors: the seriousness of the charges, the little collaboration of the accused, and the escape that they carried out in June of 2020, which was considered an attempt to evade responsibility for the crimes committed. Quote, "It is clear that the co-defendants and the high-ranking official of the Panamanian government benefited from this ideal scheme at the expense of the Panamanian people," the prosecution notes in its brief. Well, the two defendants have something else in mind. Their lawyers, who wrote to Judge Deary, they did so on the 29th of April. This was a week before the prosecution, to ask for their release, considering that the 23 months that they have been in preventative detention, first in Guatemala and now in Brooklyn, is the prison sentence that corresponds to them for having pleaded guilty to the crime of conspiracy to launder money using the U.S. financial system. In the U.S. court system, this is called time served. Well, the prosecution insists that both defendants have repeatedly shown that they believe that they are above the law, and that they're using their substantial privileges, they can avoid bearing the consequences of their actions. Quote, "The recommended sentence would make it clear that people like the two defendants who help elated officials like the Panamanian government official who cheat and steal from their own people to enrich themselves and to profit will be held accountable for their illegal conduct," it adds. The Panama Canal Authority, the ACP, suspended the draft restriction for the Neo-Panamax locks based on the current and projected level of Gatun Lake for the coming weeks, according to the statement sent to all shipping agents and users. The draft is the depth that the submerged part of the boat reaches in the water, and the greater the weight, the more draft it requires to be able to navigate. Through a note dated the 6th of May, the ACP informed its clients that with immediate effect and until further notice, the maximum authorized draft is 15.2 meters or 50 feet for vessels transiting through the Neo-Panamax locks. A draft of 50 feet allows ships to transit with greater amounts of cargo, which translates into benefits for customers because it makes the transport of goods more efficient, but at the same time, the ACP's income per tonnage is not affected. For example, each additional foot of draft in the Neopanamax locks means the ship can load an average of 330 extra containers, favourably impacting its economy of scale. According to the ACP record, the level of Gatun Lake until this Saturday, the 7th of May, was 85.8 feet, but as of May the 12th, it is projected that it will reach 86 feet and will continue to rise due to the forecasted rainfall in the basin after the start of the rainy season. And there we go, that's it, there's our look. That's some of those things relevant to us here in the Republic of Panama, all compiled for you on this morning's breakfast show.